Spread the Word radio broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Habakkuk, and we're in chapter 3. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. I'm telling you, we're looking at some exciting times. You and I are living it, man. This is exciting to consider. The Bible says, in wrath, remember mercy. Verse 3 says, God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, and he says, Selah. In other words, this is all one section. This is his concern. He's praying, and it's really the bulk of his prayer right here. And when he says that God came from Teman and the Holy One from Mount Paran, what he's saying is he's saying God came from the south. And both of these nations that are mentioned here remind us, if we know our Bibles, and it's kind of murky here for we don't know the topography down there, but these two places are from the south, and it basically has the idea of God brought Israel out of Egypt, brought them up underneath the Dead Sea, and brought them up around and over and across the Jordan River. God came. And how do we know God came? Because he took 1.5 million people and brought them. That's how we know. 1.5 million people. You see, they went into captivity. It wasn't captivity originally. They had some good times probably when they first moved there under Joseph's rule in Egypt. But when things turned dark and they began to multiply greatly, they got to about 1.5 million people. When they came out, this was huge. And he says, God came out. God moved. God came from the south. He's not saying it's about us. It's about God. It's about salvation. It's about deliverance. Do you know God's way is about salvation? It's about deliverance. It's good to know, isn't it? The Bible says, Selah, which shows us the first stanza is done. And now what he's going to do is go from his concern to a catalog. He's going to catalog a few things. The Bible says in the middle of verse 3, it says, his glory covered the heavens and the earth was full of his praise. That's creation. Do you know the whole earth was full of his glory and all of creation would sing, all of the animals would behave in a proper way. Adam and Eve for a season behaved in a perfect way. But what happened when they fell is things went sideways in a hurry. And because of that, they began to multiply. When they began to multiply, the world got filled with violence, we're told in the book of Genesis. And the Bible says when it was filled with violence and it filled the earth, God looked down and says, I'm grieved that I made man. He said, I'm going to wipe it out with a flood. And the Bible says that it was filled with his praise and his brightness was as the light and he had horns or lightning flashing in his hands. And the Bible says, and there was the hiding of his power. Where? It was in his hands. You know, Jesus is called the right hand of God. You want to know what power is with God? It's God in Christ. It's the God-man Jesus. That's the power of God, okay? When he came to wipe out the world with a flood for a season, he took 8 souls, put them in an ark with plenty of room for more. Nobody would come. Listen, it's getting dark outside, isn't it? And what we're seeing is that it's getting dark, and therefore, not many are going to come necessarily. But we can be one of the 8 in our circle of influence, okay? And I want to challenge you to make sure that you try to get your family in the ark as well. But what he does is the Lord comes and he brings forth lightnings. This was new. The Bible says it never rained before the flood. So suddenly we got thunderbolts and lightning going on, man. I mean, that must have been terrifying. I mean, thunder. Did you hear the thunder a couple days ago? That was pretty cool. I think it's cool now because I've grown up with it. It just really reminds me of how small I am. The Bible says that his brightness was as the light, and he had horns or like rays or lightning coming out of his hand, and there was the hiding of his power. Before him went the pestilence. Think about the flood, folks. Think about it for a minute, will you? I mean, it starts raining. I mean, we're talking like it did today, maybe a little sprinkle. A little sprinkle. What's going on? And then the next thing, it's a downpour. Do you know what a pestilence? It's like little pests. This word is associated with locust swarms. I was dating my wife in the early days, and we were walking around over at Kingwood Center. And we're just walking, and I'm all cool. I got the prettiest girl in the world walking next to me. And you know what happened? A big old locust landed on my shoulder. And I jumped, and I'm like, oh, man, you know. Those things are big. But it did freak me out, and I jumped. It got my attention. And what I want you to know is a pestilence would be a whole bunch of them. Be like being pelted or battered. You ever heard of assault and battery? Battery is when they're just hitting you and hitting you and hitting you. This is what this word means. God brought that rain. But then it says he brought the burning coals. Now, the burning coals has to do with the... It's the slow burn after a hit. Okay, it's something like the Bible uses this word of jealousy. Jealousy, you know, as cruel as the grave and you know, harsh as death and so forth. It can't be quenched with many waters. It's the idea of once you hit jealousy because there's been a betrayal, it just slow burns. So the pestilence gives way to a slow burn. And what I want you to see with this is that this is a very powerful picture of how it must have been in the flood. They were pelted with all of the pestilent rain, and then subsequently they were watching their own loved ones perish. I mean, getting to the highest rock. Oh, little Junior didn't make it. The burn, the agony, the terror, the trauma. Now, this is not the only time that happened. This is the way of God. God had an ark in that case. You know, when God does anything, he does it with great care. For instance, when the pestilence and all of the things that went through Egypt, God gave the people of Israel Goshen, right? And then when the time came for the death angel to go through, what happened? That was a bad thing. I mean, it was a pestilence, and then there was going to be the plague of the death of the firstborn. Well, he gave them the blood. Now, can I tell you something? God's given us the blood. He's given us the blood. He says, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Now listen, guys, this is not for nothing, but we need to not be embarrassed about the blood of Jesus. Just because the world mocks it in their TV shows, just because it mocks and says, oh, you believe in the blood of the Lamb stuff. I'm telling you, folks, this world is no friend of grace when it comes right down to it. They mock and they make fun of and they make light of and they blaspheme that holy name by which we are saved. And then when it talks about this kind of plague thing and this burning, that's something that's coming upon the earth. And by the way, the greatest one that's ever going to be seen in the world, the Bible says there's going to come a time when it's going to be worse than any time that's ever come before or ever will come again, right? This is Matthew 24 and 25. And we've got the book of Revelation completely laid out with piece by piece. Now listen, when you think about that, that's powerful. But what God does in chapter 7 of the book of Revelation is it says in there that he sends 144,000 evangelists to preach. They're Jewish evangelists. And multitudes get saved even then. What is God's way? God brings the pestilence, brings the plague, and then what does he do? He makes a way. Isn't that good to know? You know, I got to tell you, as I'm preaching through this thing right now, I'm very aware that y'all can turn me down. That just freaks me out. You know what you can't do? You can't press pause. All right? But you can turn me off, I suppose. But anyway, this is interesting. I feel like I'm up here alone, but I see a smile now and again, and that's good. Well, the Bible says further, it says, before him went the pestilence and the burning coals, that afterburn. It says it went forth at his feet. In other words, in his wake. He stood and he measured the earth and beheld and drove asunder the nations and the mountains were and the everlasting mountains were scattered and the perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. If you underline in your Bible, you might underline that. It's his works, his ways. His ways are everlasting. Lord, revive your work. Revive your work. Remember your ways. What are his ways? His ways are salvation always. His ways are salvation. The Bible says that his ways are everlasting. And then verse 6 talks about really after the flood. You notice it says that the hills were lowered and that the mountains were scattered. Things were moving. The topography of the earth was in play. Verse 7 says, I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction. And this is another part of the catalog. That one was about the flood and creation. This one's about the way God worked amongst his people. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction, and the curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. Was the Lord displeased with the rivers? And was his anger against the rivers? Was his wrath against the sea? That you did ride upon thine horses and thy chariots of salvation. Notice the word salvation just got thrown in there. But what I want you to notice is the beauty of this passage. What it is it's a picture of what happened when God brought people of Israel out of the Egyptian bondage, and the Red Sea parted, and the waters drove back into the rivers. Midian and Cushan are places that the rivers were tethered to the Red Sea. And so what's happening here is he's saying, were these rivers, was Midian and Cushan, was God mad at them? Was he mad at the rivers? It's like, because the Red Sea parted, all those waters came, and even the air was moved by the fact that all this water rushed back. It's much like what happened in Jordan, where the water went all the way back to the city of Adam. And so what he says is, was the Lord displeased, verse 8, against the rivers, and thine anger against the rivers, was thy wrath against the sea, that thou didst ride upon thine horses and thine chariots of salvation? In other words, it's a rhetorical question, and the answer is obviously no. It wasn't about that. God was all about salvation personally. It wasn't about the rivers. He says, thy bow was quite naked then. You know, when God puts up a pillar of cloud, fire by day and a fire by night, and he holds off all of Pharaoh's army, the biggest, baddest person in the universe at that time, as far as a nation was concerned. When God does that, I mean, that's amazing. And so when you see him saying, your bow was right naked then, man, you really showed who you were. That's who you are, God. You remembered salvation. Look what he says. He says further, he says, your bow was quite naked according to the oaths of the tribes, even thy word. In other words, God, you did that because you made a covenant with your people. Now listen, God's made a covenant with you and with me. If we know Jesus, he will never forsake us. He will never leave us. He will never give up on us. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. We have an oath and a word. And in judgment, we might be seeing a little bit of stuff going on in judgment. We might be seeing a little stuff going on right now in this country. You know, we have a lot to answer for. This country's got some stuff, right? We got a list. And as a country, we're not getting in our prayer closet and getting it all cleaned up. Now, I'm not talking about you and me. Maybe we have, just in these past few days, prayed and said, God, you know, I just really want to take some time to repent, get my accounts current. But, you know, the country's not doing that. The country is not doing that. You guys might have seen the guy on MyPillow or heard about him. He was up there. He gave a word about how this country's, you know, been warned, and we just need to get back to God. And then the world in which we live, the news media came out and just jumped all over him for even mentioning God. I'm telling you guys, judgment. And we want to remember who God is, his ways. The Bible says in verse 9, it says, your bow is quite naked according to the oaths of the tribes, even thy word. Think about it. Selah means think about that. And that's for the person who's singing this song, because he reiterates these things that God had done. He says, thou didst cleave the earth with rivers. The mountains saw thee, and they trembled. Now listen, when it says he cleaved the earth with rivers, he's referring back to those rivers. He says, was he mad at the rivers? When all that water came back, it moved some dirt. Okay? That's why he cleaved the... And this is why Midian and Cushan were concerned. He says, the mountains saw thee and they trembled. He's personifying these mountains. You know what he's saying? He's saying the mountains, if they could think, the mountains would be thinking, is this going to be another flood? Because those waters were coming up. Now notice what it does. It says, the mountains saw thee and they trembled. The overflowing water passed by. And the deep uttered his voice, listen, and lifted his hands on high. That's what happened in the Red Sea. It opened up, and they just walked on through. You see, that's the God you and I serve.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.